Are all religions created equal? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, we will have Sam Daniels on with us again, who feels Christianity is special and unique, even with his background as a devout Muslim.
You know, I think about how Jesus is so different from other religions. And what I've found, and I'm not a big theologian when it comes to studying different religions, but what I've learned through the years is that Jesus died for us, and he shows a love to us. And that is very powerful. And other religions, you really have to work your way to the God, whatever God that might be.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I was in college, I took a religious studies classes where you'd study all these different religions throughout the world. And I remember talking to all my colleagues and they're all saying, you know, all these religions, they're basically the same thing. It's just kind of the same thing hashed up a different way for a different culture. And there was a time when I really believed that. When you don't look at it closely, I was just like, yeah, you know, I mean, all the proverbs here and there, they're all kind of the same thing, just, you know, different, but same. But when you look closely, Jesus really is special. And Christianity really is amazing. And what's really amazing about that is because exactly what you said, Jesus is the only religion, or Christianity is the only religion where there's a savior or God, that God actually sacrifices and dies for the people, rather than the people always trying to sacrifice and do something for that God. You know, most religions always have this thing, like if you look at Buddhism, Buddhism is not about, you know, Buddha really doing anything for someone except for teaching people the way, and that just trusting that he found the way, hoping that he did, if you follow that way. Then we have, you know, the Muslim faith where it's about appeasing Allah and making sure you're living a life sacrificial to Allah. But when it comes to Christianity, it's so different because it's the only one that says, listen, I did the job for you. I died for you so that you could know me. It's like almost like the one God that kind of comes to you rather than expecting you to come to him. Real different.
And I think about the verse that many know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He gave for you and me, my friends. And so just call out to Jesus. He loves you so much. Let's stay tuned to hear from Sam Daniels right after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Saigon Bowl Restaurant and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Saigon Bowl offers the best of Vietnam right here in Denver, Colorado. Winning awards from Yelp, Urban Spoon, and TripAdvisor, Saigon Bowl is sure to please with authentic Vietnamese pho, noodle bowls, seafood dishes, and other fine Asian cuisine. Just Google them as Saigon Bowl Denver or call them at 303-935-2427. That's 303-935-2427.
We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And we have had our friend here, Sam Daniels, with us on the show, and he was a Muslim for 50 years until he was on his deathbed. He called out to Allah to kill him, really. He was in miserable pain from shingles that ended up going to the back portion of his brain that controlled his organs. And so therefore, they were really giving him no chance of life. And they were saying that he'd be a vegetable. And so as he was praying this, he realized, wait, my wife needs to know Allah so she can go to heaven. But at that moment, he felt something touch him and touch his heart.
We had an encounter with Yeshua or Jesus, and this encounter shocked him. And after this encounter, he got miraculously healed, then he ended up going to, you know, he had to study all of his foundation from before to see what he believed before. I mean, it just shook everything.
Yeah.
And he came to be a very strong Christian.
And what's amazing about his encounter with Yeshua is that he's told him, I am that I am. And he'd spent from midnight till all the way in the morning just talking to Sam in the hospital.
Wow.
And so it was a miracle that he was alive. And even the atheist doctor was like, well, he couldn't even figure out how this happened. And so it was a great testimony. So let's talk to Sam more about this. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. You know, for a Muslim who's devoted all your life, you believe that everything in the Quran is 100% correct. But when I was shocked with my research, and I came across the first shocker in the whole Islamic foundation, the law of abrogation, where Allah changed his mind 73 times out of the 114 chapters. So 73 chapters out of the 114 have been changed. But nobody has any collection of when it was changed, how it was changed. Did we take the abrogated one or the abrogatee? Which one is supposed to be what? And I checked with many, even famous Muslim scholars. None of them could give me the answer that would satisfy my curiosity and prove me to a point where, without any doubt, this is the reality of it.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's interesting. Yeah, because, I mean, him changing his mind.
He changed his mind, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never changed his mind. He's always been the same.
Right.
And now suddenly this author of the Quran changed his mind in 73 chapters. It seems to be a momentary religion rather than an established work of divine origin.
Wow.
And then he gave a lot of excuses to Muhammad and his followers to make mistakes and go back and correct them. And the first 10 years of Islam was very peaceful. It was only after they migrate from Mecca to Medina that the sword verses started, kill the unbeliever, do not become friends with the Christian and Jews. So I thought, but Islam tells you it's a religion for all mankind, so how can it be if I cannot be friends with them? How can I lead them to Islam if I cannot be even friends with them?
Right.
So the only way you could lead them is by the power of the sword. Well, that's not going to happen, not in today's world, not if you choose to be a peaceful one. But then I came to a very interesting verse and very daring one, other than calling himself his deceiver, and he's the best of all deceivers. In chapter 482, it says, if you find any discrepancies within this book, then it is your proof that this entire book is not of God. I thought, wow, hallelujah, this is exactly what I needed. The author of the Quran is so daring. But then when I went back and checked into how the Quran came about, and they say no one can change the word of Allah except him. Well, they have changed it, because if you go to Sahih Bukhari in volume 7, it tells you it was supposed to be 116 chapter. Different reference tells you it was supposed to be 111, but now it's 114. So who's right?
Wow.
They've either added 3 chapters or took away 2 chapters. So that takes away the whole thing of the Quran being preserved on tablets in heaven. There is no such thing. And when I realized that the entire origin, even after the Quran was written, 20 years after the death of Muhammad, the Arabic language did not progress and did not develop the way we know it now until 120 years after the Quran was written. And if you know Arabic, you could write one sentence, change the punctuation and the phonetic on it, you change the entire meaning of it. You can have war or peace with the person you're talking to just by changing the punctuation on it. So how would I know that what I have in front of me is the exact revelation of divine origin? And now I know in my heart that it's not divine. In fact, when I was a Muslim, my wife will tell me there is a testimony on YouTube of somebody who was an Islam or a jihadist or some Hezbollah or somebody in Palestine or Israel who changed and become a Christian now. Would you like to hear the testimony? And I always said to her, no, they're weak faith. Why do I need to hear it? But then when you meet our Lord and Savior in the way I met him, where I reached the end of my rope, and it was the beginning of his life, that changed the whole equation for me in my mind.
That's really amazing.
That made me look at things totally different, because now suddenly I'm not looking at it just in my mind. God doesn't speak to us in our mind. He speaks to your heart. And most people make the mistake that he spoke to my mind and it made the drop of 18 inches to reach my heart. No, it doesn't. It's the other way around. God speaks. You always say, God put it in my heart to do whatever it is, the statement you want to make. Because he speaks to your heart. And I was convicted in my heart without any shed of doubt that he is my Lord and he is my Savior. When he told me on my deathbed, I loved you before you even knew me. I've never experienced that kind of love.
Wow.
I've never experienced that kind of sacrifice. Because Muhammad said, kill for me and my cause, while Jesus died for me. Muhammad said, serve me. Jesus served his disciples and washed their feet. Muhammad took everything by sword. Jesus took everything by love. The greatest commandment, love God with all your mind, heart, and soul. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So how can I compare the two when there is none? There is no way of comparison. There is no way, which is the notion now most Muslims tell you when you argue with them, Allah and God are the same. No, they're not. I had a vision encounter with God, with Jesus Christ, where he took me to heaven. There was this big light. I couldn't even dare to look at it. And he said, there is the throne of God, the Father. I can feel the fluttering of the angels' wings over me. It was flooded with light. You can't even dare to look up. And I see him going into the light, becoming part of the light, coming out of the light, becoming Jesus Christ that I met on my bed. And that's when I understood that when God the Father said, I created all things through him, because he is the Word. And the Word, when God ordered anything to be born or to come to being, he commanded it. So the Word is the Word of creation, and he is the Word of that creation. So everything has been created through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if you explain that to me when I was a Muslim, I would never understand it.
Wow. You know, Sam, there are people listening now who have had troubles understanding the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being one. Right. And they're wondering, is Jesus the way? And, you know, they may have these ideas and beliefs that are just, they're confused maybe, and they're looking for truth. And they've heard this program, and I believe God has put them in a place to hear your testimony. And you have more to share with us about the encounters you've had with Jesus and how you went from being a Muslim for 50 years, how you came to know the Lord, and how he has encountered you. And we're going to have you back on our next show to share some more about these truths. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your heart with us. We're going to pray for our guests.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I love so much what he said about how the Lord told him that he loved him before he was even born, right? And that's just a phenomenal thought to really think about. I just feel like the Holy Spirit just really hit for someone who's listening right now, is that God has loved you before you even born. He had a plan for you, and you're part of his plan. And maybe you're like, well, I'm having a tough time. I don't know. How do you know for sure Jesus is the way? How do you know for sure that it is a triune God? The only way you know is if you come to know him. You got to walk through the door, and Jesus is that gate. He is that door. So Jesus, I receive you. I believe in you. Walk through that door, my friend, in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.